Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by and welcome to the Small Business Town Hall with Insurance Commissioner Laura Ricardo. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. If you should require assistance during the call, please press star then zero. As a reminder, today's conference is being recorded, and I'd now like to turn the conference over to your host, Assemblyman Kevin Kiley. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. I'm Kevin Kiley. I represent parts of Placer, El Dorado, and Sacramento counties in the State Assembly. And I know what an extraordinarily challenging time this has been for small businesses in particular. I know that many are really fighting for their lives right now. And so I wanted to put together today's call as an opportunity to present your questions to Commissioner Laura and others who are going to be making some of the key decisions and also be providing access to the most helpful resources as we seek to reopen the economy and to recover from this period of shutdown. From my perspective, the budget at the legislature is due next week, and I've been fighting for a pro-work, pro-worker, small business friendly budget. As you know, I think we need to be doing everything we can to help small businesses get back on their feet. So I've been pushing for tax relief, for relief from regulations, and for liability protection. And, you know, some of those issues probably will not get everything that I'm hoping for, but that's what I'm pushing. And I think that if small businesses can recover as quickly as possible, then that's going to be the best thing for our state. So we have three people who will be giving presentations today. With the Small Business Administration is Heather Luzzi. She's a former banking executive with over 30 years of banking and finance experience. She oversees the delivery of SBA services in Sacramento District's 22-county Northern California region. We also have Bianca Blomquist. She manages the Small Business Majorities Outreach, Education, and Legislative Efforts for the Bay Area, Silicon Valley, and Northern California region. She develops relationships with small business stakeholders to empower the voice of small business and works with the Vice President for California on national and statewide policy efforts. And then finally, the host of today's call is Commissioner Ricardo Lara, who's the California's 8th elected insurance commissioner. As leader of the nation's largest state consumer protection agency, he's charged with protecting California consumers. And this has certainly been a busy time for him, like many of us, during this pandemic and all of the related issues around it. So with that being said, I'd like to now hand it over to the commissioner.
Thank you, Assemblyman Kiley, for your leadership, your friendship, and you know, the work that we continue to do together to not only support our small businesses, but to protect our consumers in your district. You know, just a few months ago, I was with you at Cameron Park to talk about wildfire insurance, which was affecting our entire state, especially in our Sierra foothills. Today, as we really talk about resources for our small businesses, we are starting, you know, another wildfire season. And that will be very much on our minds in the coming months ahead. So please, to our business owners, our consumers, let's look at your policies, look at your wildfire coverage, and make sure we're prepared. I have personally spoken to more than 20 town halls for small businesses dealing with losses regarding to COVID-19. As we continue through this unprecedented pandemic, we have a lot of work to do to assist our small businesses and your workers. We have seen unprecedented job losses across the state, including in El Dorado, Placer, and Sacramento counties. And the Department of Insurance, under my leadership, has really taken a number of steps to help our small businesses. I have ordered insurance companies to return a portion of premiums to businesses and drivers affected by the COVID-19 pandemic for March, April, and May due to the stay-at-home orders, and quite frankly, the reduced accidents and losses that we have been seeing given that so many people are rightfully doing the stay-at-home orders. My orders cover at least 6 lines of insurance where the risk of loss has fallen as a result of the pandemic. Many of the businesses closed due to the COVID-19 emergency, you know, you need relief from your premiums that no longer reflect the present-day risk of loss. So by requiring insurance companies to return these premiums to you all, it puts some money back in your pocket and, you know, hopefully reduces your future costs when you need it the most as you're trying to now reopen your business. Business owners that do not have any that do not have to do anything to receive the refund, insurance companies must provide this relief as soon as possible. You can also contact your insurance company to provide your actual or estimated change in payroll or business receipt and possibly even qualify for a larger discount. And this really builds upon the actions I've been taking since last month to request insurance companies to give our businesses a 60-day grace period to pay premiums at least to until July 14th. You know, many insurance companies have honored that request by offering flexibility to consumers and businesses during the pandemic. And, you know, especially now after some of the looting and uprising that we've seen across the state. So, you know, we encourage you to contact our department at 1-800-927-4357. That's 1-800-927-4357. Or you could visit us at our website at insurance.ca.gov. That's insurance.ca.gov. And we can help answer your questions regarding, you know, not only your rebates or refunds that you should be receiving, but also if you need help in extending these grace periods. We know that, you know, so many of our business owners are struggling to pay the bills, make ends meet, and trying to figure out how you're going to, you know, keep the doors open, and your insurance company should be able to give you that grace period. And, you know, what we've been telling insurance companies are, look, if you don't have this business owner now, you're not going to be able to count on this business as a client moving forward because they're going to have to shut down their business. So might as well give them the opportunity to give them a grace period to pay their premiums and help keep them in business so that you could keep a client. It makes perfect sense to me, but, you know, we continue to work with our industry, the insurance industry, to make sure we help our businesses. My department has also received a number of complaints regarding business interruption insurance, and many of the businesses have looked to their insurance policies for possible coverage. As you know, each policy is really a legal contract between the business owner and the insurance company, and since early March, we have been seeing dozens of lawsuits around the country, including in California, which concern the interpretation of these policies and whether these policies cover losses due to COVID-19. And I can tell you we are monitoring these cases as they move through the courts, but, you know, we've taken some additional steps to address business interruption. We have been learning that some insurance companies are denying business interruption claims without even a thorough investigation or even discouraging business owners from even filing a claim, and that is simply unacceptable. In response to numerous complaints from businesses, public officials, and other stakeholders, you know, we are requiring insurance companies to comply with their contracts and California law by fairly investigating every single business interruption claim caused by COVID-19, just as they would any such disaster, either a fire, earthquake, or a flood. My department will be watching to make sure that they do and ensure everyone is getting a fair claim. I want to quickly, before I pass it on, just mention workers' compensation. It's important to note that it will take some time to see the impact of COVID-19 on our workers' compensation system, which has been another question many people have been asking. Businesses that are closed or have drastically reduced payrolls may see their workers' compensation insurance costs reduced in the short term. And my order for reimbursement of premium and premium rebates includes workers' compensation. So you'll see an additional drop in your insurance costs because you should be receiving that as a reimbursement or some partial credit. And under the current workers' compensation regulations, payrolls include payments to employees who are furloughed even though they are not working, which means that employers' rates would remain the same as if the employee were still in a workplace performing their regular duties. And we know that's not the case for so many of your employees. So there's a major discrepancy there. Also, employers that provide workers' comp with the opportunity to transition from regular work duties to lighter duties, such as home-based clerical, are still paying the rates based upon a higher job classification. So really, to address this unfair situation for our business owners, last month my department held a hearing to consider proposed emergency regulations, which would make changes intended to reflect the lower risk of worker injury in light of the pandemic. So I'm reviewing those proposed regulations now and determining whether they are consistent with my overall mandate to reduce premiums for our business owners so that it really reflects this reduced risk. Lastly, you know, I want to make sure that our businesses know that to be on the lookout for fraud and insurance scams and report any suspicious activity to the Department of Insurance. We have over 300 sworn investigators and enforcement personnel with 9 regional offices, including an office in Natomas that serves El Dorado, Placer, and Sacramento counties. I would just say, you know, unfortunately, during these difficult times is when people start, you know, preying on our business owners or on consumers. I would just say be on alert for those bogus workers' compensation policies. Verify the legitimacy of the selling agent and policy offered. You can always call us. You can verify the agent's license on our website. And also be on alert for fraudulent workers' compensation claims by employees that may occur as a result of layoffs of the pandemic related to illness. So please just give us a call. We have we transitioned the majority of our workforce to telework, and we have insurance experts that are waiting to call if you have any questions. We know that insurance can be complicated, especially for our business owners that have already so much on their plate, and we can help guide you through the process. We have, again, like I said, insurance experts ready to help answer your questions in multiple languages. You're talking to an actual person, not just a recording. And so I look forward to answering some of your questions today. Thank you, Assemer Kelly.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner. Next, we will hear from Heather Woozy with the Small Business Administration.
Thank you so much, Assemblyman. My name, again, is Heather Lutze. I'm the District Director for the U.S. Small Business Administration Sacramento District Office. My territory encompasses the 22 northeastern counties of the state. I have colleagues throughout the state of California. There's actually 6 different SBA district offices within the state. So we're kind of in a unique position within the state of California. We are a federal agency, and our administrator holds a cabinet-level position. That said, just a little background on the Small Business Administration. We were founded in 1953 by the Small Business Act. Our entire focus is surrounding small business. So we will assist small businesses in starting, expanding, growing into new markets, and in disaster recovery. In the current climate, under the COVID-19 situation that we're all dealing with, the agency finds itself in a really precarious position because this is obviously an unprecedented event that has taken place. And typically, with our agency and our disaster response team, we typically work hand-in-hand with our FEMA partners, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. And we would back them up or support them in any specific disaster. And those would be such as, it was mentioned earlier, the Northern California wildfires, earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, et cetera. In the current climate, we find ourselves in more of a first responder position in that we, as the agency, in cooperation and coordination with the U.S. Treasury Department, have been tasked with deploying the CARES Act and a couple of programs within the CARES Act. So the Paycheck Protection Program is supposed to allow businesses is supposed to help businesses to retain their employees during these closures. So unfortunately, a lot of our businesses have closed and were not able to be reopened because of the shelter-in-place mandates. The Paycheck Protection Program is supposed to assist in that regard in helping the business owner to pay the employees whether or not they have returned to work. So it's definitely an option. It is a forgivable loan, and I think we'll go into a lot more details in just a bit, but that's part of the CARES Act that we are tasked with deploying. The other part is a debt relief component, and the debt relief component is on all SBA transactions that are current. SBA will make the payments of both principal, interest, and fees for 6 months or through September 27th. We also, for any newly originated guarantee transactions, will be making those payments for the first 6 months. Any current disaster loan that is on the book is automatically deferred for a 12-month time frame. So we're trying to make adjustments to assist these businesses in getting back up and running after these closures. And, of course, with the assistance of our partners through other federal agencies, as well as the insurance commissioner and our local and state assemblymen, as well as federal partners and congressional leaders. So I think that's probably a good introduction to the SBA at this point. Back to you, Assemblyman.
Perfect. Thank you very much. And finally, Bianca Blumquist with the Small Business Majority.
Thank you, Assembly Member Kylie. I really appreciate it, and I appreciate your leadership on this issue. And thank you, Commissioner, for inviting Small Business Majority to speak to some of the folks, small business owners and otherwise, on this call today. And a huge thank you also to Heather for all of the work that she has been doing in the Sacramento office for the small business owners during this time. I mean, it goes without saying all of the work we've all been doing to help small business owners get through this, not only just get through this pandemic, but, you know, to come out thriving. A little bit about my organization. Small Business Majority is a 501c3. This means we are a nonprofit organization. We provide all of our workshops, all of our trainings, all of our materials, and all of our support for free. We help small business owners in a few different ways. The first is through our educational workshops, just like somewhat like this, not too different, with our partners involved, of course, to small business owners. Our advocacy work, we elevate small business owners in different districts in California so that their policymakers can hear straight from the small business owners what issues are important to them, what issues they're dealing with, and how policymakers can help. We connect small business owners to local, state, and national news syndicates, again, to elevate their voice, because that's the point. And we engage in third-party independent polling and research of small business owners nationwide because we're a national nonprofit. In fact, a little over a month ago, we released a poll that showed us that 92% of California's small businesses have been harmed by COVID-19, and nearly half of those folks have indicated a severe negative impact. Both the overall impact and severe negative impact are slightly higher than the findings that we did in our national poll. And what this means is that small business owners in California are reeling. They deserve access to the federal programs that Heather is very well versed in, including the Paycheck Protection Program and the Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program. It's important to remember there is $100 billion left in the Paycheck Protection Program. So if you are a small business owner and you have not yet filed your application, or you filed your application and you're not sure that it has gone through, reach out to us. Heather, myself, any number of the folks on this call will be equipped to help you file your application. Community lenders are there to help you. We also engage in connecting small business owners with other forms of assistance, to include both grants on a local and state level, as well as disaster loans or other small business loans provided at responsible rates. We work closely with the commissioner against a lot of the predatory lending practices that he mentioned at the onset of this call. I recognize we're running a little bit behind, so I will end there. But thank you again for having us. We look forward to it.
All right. Thank you for participating. And we're now going to move on to some questions. Just a brief preface on that. I want to thank everyone who submitted your questions by email. We're going to try to answer as many as we can in the allotted time. But if we're not able to get to your question during the town hall, please be assured that it will be answered directly from the relevant organization. And the town hall is also being recorded, and we'll make that recording available on the Department of Insurance's website. And also, after the event, there will be summary notes of the town hall with contact and resource information. So the first question is actually for me, and it's as follows. What are your feelings on AB 2501? It seems to me it creates as many problems as it solves and transfers the crisis from the borrower to the lender. Not all lenders for houses are banks. Many retirees have invested their retirement into houses or lend money to people with houses for security. The fact is, once they break one line in our economical chain, everybody will lose in the long term, and if they don't break the chain, a lot of poor to middle-class people will be hurt. So what do you do? I think that very well explains many of the problems of this piece of legislation, AB 2501, which would create forbearance of up to 180 days when it comes to auto and home loans. And it's been it's facing significant opposition, and for some of the reasons that the questioner laid out, and it will have a whole host of unintended consequences, in my view, such as by restricting access to credit. So this is kind of an example of maybe a well-intentioned piece of legislation that is meant to provide relief to, say, homeowners, but which may end up creating many problems that it solves. It's still in the assembly. It's making its way through the process, but it is, at this point, has several more steps to go before it gets to the governor's desk and has a chance of becoming law. So I'd encourage those who are impacted to remain engaged in making sure that your concerns are heard, and I'll certainly do my part to make sure that they are as well. Next question is for the next two, actually, are for Commissioner Laura. The question is as follows. We publish printed programs for nonprofit organizations that produce programming classified as phase four for reopening. We carry multimedia publisher liability insurance. Should we be entitled to the premium reduction due to our vastly reduced production schedule this year?
Thank you. Yes, you don't just have to, you know, not just for your business, but for many businesses that are seeking a reduced risk. As I noted earlier, I order premium refunds because many people and businesses, the risk of accident or loss is much lower due to the statewide stay-at-home order. So we are seeing fewer accidents or injuries on the road, falling business payrolls and receipts, reductions in liability exposure due to temporary closure or reduction of many businesses. The premium reductions and refunds should absolutely reflect that. And we're asking the insurance companies to do that. So the risk has not gone away completely, I have to say, but my department will be watching to make sure that the amount the insurance companies are returning is actually adequate and that they're not shortchanging you. I have John Phoenix from our legal branch, our legal team, who has been really working on these reimbursements and credits. John, can you give us a little more detail, please?
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Commissioner. So the amount you get will vary by company and by policy. In many cases, the credit reduction or refund will be a percentage of your premiums for March, April, and May as these stay-at-home orders continue. This will not be a 100% refund of your premium. The reductions are going to be tied to the change in risk during the month Californians remain subject to stay-at-home orders. We have seen some insurance companies announce premium refunds, reductions, and credits. This bulletin that we've been talking about, Commissioner Laura's bulletin, directs all insurers to make an initial premium refund to all adversely impacted California policyholders as soon as possible. But that can't be any later than 120 days from the date of the bulletin. So that's actually going to land on August 11th. So that's coming up here in a few months. This directive applies to the following lines of insurance: private passenger auto, commercial auto, workers' compensation, commercial multi-peril, commercial liability, medical malpractice, and any other lines of coverage where the measures of risk have become substantially overstated as a result of the pandemic. Commissioner Lars Bolton was one of the few among all states to include premium refunds for commercial lines and not just auto. Since every insurer's book of business and product type is different, Commissioner Lara directed each insurance company to propose the best way to immediately return premium back to policyholders. And he also directed each insurer to report back to the department how they'll fulfill this directive within 60 days. That's actually today, June 12th. We're going to start hearing some of these insurance company reports. Some of it submitted a report already, but the balance should be getting those in. People who haven't received premium relief in spite of a reduction in the covered risks under a policy are strongly encouraged to contact their insurance company. And if you aren't satisfied with the answers you get or you have other questions, please contact the department. I think we've given this number out and this contact info, but it's just in case you're looking for it, 800-927-4357. And our website is insurance.ca.gov. Commissioner Lara has also requested an extended grace period to pay your premium. So if you're having trouble paying your premium, give your insurance company a call and inquire about insurance Commissioner Lara's grace period notice.
Thank you. Next question for Commissioner Lara. I have contacted my insurance company and requested assistance for business interruption. I complied with the stay-at-home orders, so my business was closed with no possibility of sales. I was denied any financial help from my insurance company. Do I have any other recourse with my insurer?
Yes. Since we see so many questions on business interruption, since the questions we received on business interruption are very specific to those businesses and all policies that are not the same, we need to further look at the specific policy that this business owner might have to better understand what coverages and exclusions each business has. But in general, if you have a business interruption coverage, but your insurance company is telling you that those losses are not due to the covered due to the exclusions in your policy, we recommend that you file a formal claim with your insurance company and start creating that important paper trail, because that's important. Insurance companies are legally required to fairly investigate your claim and formally respond back to you with their coverage decision and the reasons for any denial that they may make. And then that allows us, if you're not happy with that result or whatever, if they say you're not covered, you call us and you can share that information with us, and it'll be easier for our staff to sift through those documents to make sure that there's no discrepancies within your contract, your coverage, and what you're being told. And I have Tony Signorelli who's my deputy commissioner for consumer services, who's answering these questions directly from so many business owners across the state. I know he's on. Thank you, Tony, for all the work you're doing and helping our business owners. Can you elaborate further on this part of this question, please?
Yes, certainly, Commissioner. Commercial policies will have an exclusion for virus or pandemic. Not all, but most will. And so it'll be very important for you, for a business, to check their policy to see if they have that exclusion. Whether they have that exclusion or not isn't the end of the story. We still need to look further into the facts of the claim and other coverage provisions in your policy, such as some provisions require you to have physical loss or damage to your insured property in order for the policy to trigger coverage. So those are a couple of the conditions and exclusions that we're seeing that create a hurdle to coverage. But as Commissioner Lara mentioned, don't take your insurance company's verbal word or you call your agent and they say, don't bother filing a claim. File a formal claim, force the insurance company to formally respond back to you. As Commissioner Lara also said, that gives us a better chance, if your claim is denied, for us to have a greater documentation trail of what happened, what the insurance company said, so that we go and investigate our case, we'll have a better starting point. And so contact us if you run into that situation. We can walk you through your insurance policy. We can get with the insurance company to make sure they follow the law, make sure they follow the four corners of your insurance policy, and we'll assign it to one of our investigators and get with you immediately and help you navigate your policy and that claim.
So, Commissioner Laura, this is just one of many questions we got on business interruptions. But in general, why isn't business interruption covered due to losses associated with the pandemic?
Well, you know, many of the of these exclusions, the insurance company, after several other of our previous virus outbreaks, started putting these exclusions in their business interruption policies. I mean, remember we had H1N1, SARS, bird flu, you name it. And so this is why it's critical for business owners to really understand the coverage that they're signing up for. And if they don't understand, give us a call. We'll walk you through what is being proposed to you. And this is why it's critical now as we enter fire season for people to look at what their coverage looks like so that, you know, and if you're concerned about what you have, we can help guide you in terms of what better policies are out there or what are some options that you might have to be able to better protect your policy. So, you know, we're seeing these, although we have done, we're gathering data to see, you know, how many people have these policies, what these policies look like, is the virus exclusion covered or not. And so we're doing a lot of our homework as it was mentioned before by one of the panelists. This is all new to us, and so we're trying to, you know, react as quickly as possible. But again, we want people to file their claims, and if they're not happy with that result, give us a call. We can help guide you through what any potential options could be. So, you know, we're trying to get as much information and try to help our business owners as quickly as possible. Hello?
Sorry, Commissioner, I was did not unmute. Okay, we have got a couple more for you. My small business with 45 employees is struggling through the pandemic as our business opening is part of phase three, and Covered California is demanding payments for March, April, and May in full, or our health insurance plan will be canceled. We've asked for deferment, and if needed, a payment plan. We have not been able to get anyone who can make a decision. Get to anyone who can make a decision. Are you there?
Now it was my turn. I was muted. we'll figure this out, Kevin, one way or another.
Yeah, one way, right.
Covered California, you know, created a new program that the premium deferral program to help small businesses continue to provide insurance to their employees during the, you know, the COVID-19 pandemic. The premium deferral program allows affected businesses to pay 25% of their premium payments for April, May, and June, and spread out the remaining 75% of the premium payments across the rest of the year. This program also gives employers an extra 30 days to make their premium payments for April and May. So I would say, you know, for more information and to enroll in this program, you can contact Cover California for Small Business. Their service center is 877-777-6782. That's a lot of sevens. Let me say that again. It's 877-777-6782, or you can email at ccsb@covered.ca.gov.
This is the final question for the commissioner. We've received a lot of questions from small business owners about liability due to COVID-19 exposure. How can businesses deal with these liability issues?
Got it. Yeah, we have more than a dozen town halls, and I'm extremely sympathetic to our businesses and hear this question a lot. Even when you reopen, businesses are going to need to recover, and I know liability due to COVID exposure is a legitimate concern. So the Department of Insurance is going to be watching closely to make sure that insurance companies are giving you as much flexibility as possible and that they're fully abiding by their contracts. I understand the burdens of, you know, being placed on our businesses as they attempt to reopen while still keeping their employees and customers safe. It is not an understatement to say that lives are at stake here. Businesses should, you know, in my opinion, follow the governor's resiliency roadmap, as well as your local guidelines from your local agencies who, you know, who know the community, understand the community, for what processes the business must follow, and that will go a long way, will really go a long way towards helping California lead the way through this pandemic. As businesses open, they should have a conversation with their agent or insurance company to get guidance regarding on how safely they return to business, and also make sure businesses have the right coverage in place. A lot of folks skip that, but that also puts the onus also on the insurance company to give you some guidelines so that later they can't say, you know, you now have to pay a higher premium because of the liability. So if the business is not, if you as a business owner are not satisfied, again, with the answers you're getting from your insurance company, give us a call. Again, just call the department. We can help walk you through this. And again, we have folks ready to assist. As I discussed earlier, workers are specifically covered if they contract COVID-19 while on the job. So, give us a call. We'll help guide you through these tough questions that you might have as you continue to open, you know, your business and kind of modify for this new reality that we're living in. Thank you.
All right, now a few questions for Heather and Bianca. What resources does small business have available to assist them during this time? And are the resources contact information located in kind of one centralized website where it can show you how you can take advantage of them and whether you qualify?
Certainly. Thank you, Assemblyman. It's Heather Lutze with the SBA. So this is a great question, and first of all, I want to preference this by saying that the services of the U.S. Small Business Administration and our resource partners are not free, but they are prepaid by tax dollars. So there is no downfall to reaching out to these additional resources to assist businesses in every aspect of their business. So please utilize the services that have already been paid for by your tax dollars. Having said that, the U.S. Small Business Administration has a vast network of resource partners, and these partners assist us with deploying the products and services that we offer, and additionally, other products and services that are available through the state or local governments. We have, under the SBA umbrella, the Small Business Development Centers, the Women's Business Centers, the Veterans Business Outreach Centers, and many of our SCORE mentors and volunteers. In addition to that, I count under our resource partners, the Small Business Majority, and I'm going to let Bianca talk about that.
Oh, thank you, Heather. I appreciate that. Heather's absolutely right. It's not free, but it is paid for through funding. And so all small business owners that have any questions about the topics that are addressed here today or general questions about their business at this time should absolutely use those resources that were listed by Heather. The Small Business Development Center is a great resource for many small business owners throughout COVID-19 or otherwise. They will provide to you, if you're not familiar with an SBDC, they provide free one-on-one advising to you as a business owner on anything from accessing responsible capital and avoiding predatory lending to revisiting your business plan. A lot of small business owners are pivoting their business or fundamentally shifting their business model, as Commissioner Lara said, to operate in this new reality. So the Small Business Development Centers and SCORE is absolutely, they're all great resources. If you are not even sure where to start, go ahead and hop on our website. Smallbusinessmajority.org has a resource portal. It's venturize.org, V as in Victor, E-N-T-U-R-I-Z-E, venturize.org. There you can type in your zip code, and it will bring up all of the free and low-cost resources that are near you or your business. So you can start there and find these resources, hop on our website, reach out to any one of us on this webinar. Questions about business interruption claims, et cetera. A lot of us have checklists that you can bring with you when you're about to file a claim. If you are looking for funding, there's a great checklist on just questions you want to ask your lender that any lender who's operating above board will have no problem answering. But a lot of small business owners, it's not that they don't have access to the information. Quite frankly, they have so much information that is being sent to them. And if you're just looking for where to start, pop us an email or head to venturize.org and type in your zip code and start there.
Thank you. And someone asked, they say they filled out a form online to apply for small business assistance and never received a reply.
So thank you, Assemblyman. That could be referring either to the Economic Injury Disaster Loan or the Paycheck Protection Program. So there's been a lot of confusion about the deployment of these particular programs because everything kind of came out all at once. And as Bianca alluded to, there has just been so much information around there. It's very difficult from a small business owner's perspective to navigate through the portals of each of these options. With the Paycheck Protection Program, that is actually administrated by our lending partners. So banks, credit unions, and other microlenders, other intermediaries are deploying that product on behalf of SBA. The Economic Injury Disaster Loan is the only direct lending program that SBA provides. And that is actually, again, through our disaster division. Just to give you an idea about this, that we've heard this a lot as far as haven't received a reply yet or they've, you know, sent an email and haven't heard back. Well, keep in mind, the agency, as small as we are, we, in our 57-year history, have never come across a situation to where we've been inundated with 6 million applications in a matter of 30 days. So, unfortunately, we were ill-equipped for this. So what we've done is we've actually reached out to other federal agencies. We've onboarded over 3,000 employees to help process these loans. We've deployed over 500 FEMA personnel to process these loans. And we've reached out and created public partner-private partnerships with respect to call centers that have assisted us in that regard. So we looked to different call centers that they're, we did specific to the travel industry. And, you know, their employees were out of work as well because nobody was traveling. So hotels weren't booked. Flights weren't happening, so we repurposed all of those folks. Again, we are implementing the procedures necessary to assist in the backlog of these requests, but it's going to take time. If you're looking for new transactions or new money, the Paycheck Protection Program, again, still has almost $130 billion available to small business, but time is really of the essence. So just another option for you.
So that actually touches on the next question here, which is that whether all COVID-19 assistance for small businesses has been depleted.
Yeah, no, it hasn't. And again, time is of the essence simply because the program does sunset on June 30th. And we have heard from our congressional leaders that there's no intention of expanding that or pushing that out. So June 30th is the deadline, but that's actually the deadline for our lending partners to obtain the loan numbers needed for those transactions. So my suggestion to small businesses is to reach out to the lending community as quickly as possible. And again, venturize.org through Bianca's the Small Business Majority is a great resource. You can also go to asksbdc.com. or go to sba.gov, and we've got lists of lenders that are participating in that program, because if the applications are not input within, say, the next 7 to 10 days, there's not going to be enough time for that lender to submit to SBA electronically to obtain the loan number to be counted into that PPP loan program. So there's definitely resources available, definitely funding still available. Try to look at these additional resources.
All right, and final question. My business designs and sells promotional products such as lapel pins, and my customers, which include schools, sports teams, clubs, fraternal organizations, and nonprofits, are all closed, therefore there's no business. The questioner says, I'm keeping all my employees under PPP for now and working very hard to find new customers that are not closed before the PPP runs out. He adds, I'm sure this is a common story. What options do I have before shutting my doors, which have been open since 1957?
Yeah, thank you for that question as well. Again, these are really heartbreaking stories, and we are hearing these on a daily basis. It is so unfortunate, just the circumstances that were beyond anybody's control. With that said, we at the SBA and our resource partners stand at the ready to assist businesses in navigating through these troubled times. With respect to the Paycheck Protection Program, there was a flexibility to that program called the Paycheck Protection Program Flexibility Act that was signed into law on Friday. So on Friday, the parameters of that transaction have changed significantly. With that said, the original intent of the program was for a majority of the funding to be allocated towards payroll costs. And again, whether or not your employees were back to work. The 8 weeks or covered period that was initially provided required that 75% of those funds had to be spent on payroll, and then 25% could be allocated for ancillary costs such as mortgage or rent, lease payments, health insurance, all kinds of different covered pieces of that. That has now actually been expanded. So that 8-week time frame has been extended to 24 weeks or through December 31st, whichever occurs first. And the parameters, the 75% towards payroll, has now been reduced to 60% towards payroll and 40% towards other charges. So if there's, you know, payments needed, your accounts payable can be paid up to a maximum of 40%. As long as those two things occur, the entire 100% of the loan is forgivable. With that said, if there is a piece of that is not designated as, you know, maybe you only came to 55% of payroll instead of that 60% threshold, that does not mean that the entire loan will not be forgivable. It will be reviewed at that 55% versus the 60. So we're trying to provide many, many flexibilities with respect to this. The other really significant change that came into play was that the term was previously 2 years, and that's now been expanded to 5 years to allow for a longer time frame. Now, keeping in mind, this particular program, the Paycheck Protection Program, carries an interest rate of 1%. So regardless of whether or not you're able to get these costs forgiven based on the allocations, as I've outlined, it's still very inexpensive funding. So just to keep your business afloat and something to kind of keep the doors from shutting, this is really a great option and should be considered. Bianca, do you have anything additional to add to that?
Thank you for asking. No, I mean, just to clarify on what you had said about, you know, the loan maturity extending from 2 years to 5 years is for new borrowers. If you already have a Paycheck Protection Program, it is still the loan maturity rate is still 2 years. In terms of pivoting your business, you know, there are so many business associations that exist that have been helping folks in different industries think about new ways that they can operate. Given everything that's going on, I live in Sonoma County. There is a There is a business, a small business not far from here that has that pivoted really quickly, in my opinion, from apparel design, similar to what the questions, the business owner who submitted the question in their industry, and they're now producing PPE. So there are a bunch of stories like this. Head to, you know, your association website for some ideas. The SBDC is already putting out webinars and workshops for folks that are interested in what they can do. I don't think there's anything in the guidance also that prevents folks from paying their workers more if they're having a hard time getting those funds out the door before the deadline. There's a number of different things to consider, and there are people that are able to help you strategize and brainstorm some of these ideas for free.
All right. Thank you. We're nearing the end of our time here, so I wanted to give each of our speakers a chance to provide some concluding remarks, starting with Commissioner Lara.
Again, thank you, Senator Kiley, for your leadership and your work on such an extraordinary time. You know, really appreciate your friendship and your collaboration and working with us always to, you know, whether it's fighting fires, now, you know, pandemic, and I'm afraid to say what else is next because it's 2020 and who knows. But, again, I just want to tell our small business owners on the phone that please use us as a resource. We are, you know, we are here. We have, you know, live folks working and making sure that we're answering your questions. Don't feel, you know, embarrassed to call us. We know this is an insane time for so many of us, and we want to make sure that you get every resource to be able to keep your doors open and keep the economy going, since, you know, our small business owners are really the backbone of the economy. And so please do not hesitate to call us at 1-800-927-4357. You could also reach us, and you could submit your question at insurance.ca.gov on our website. Again, thank you so much, and, you know, look forward to helping our businesses stay afloat, and, you know, we'll get through this together like we always have. Thank you so much.
All right. And Heather?
Thank you. I think just in closing, I would like to say that, you know, You're not alone. You are not alone. You've got a lot of resources at hand. And again, don't let costs defer you, because we are prepaid by your tax dollars. So all of the services and programs that we offer are without cost to you as a small business owner. And again, there are multiple associations for businesses, multiple resources that the agency partners with on a daily basis that can assist in helping you either pivot to a new platform or business style, or assist in, you know, in some cases, closing your business. And perhaps that may be an appropriate course of action for some. This is also a great opportunity for others. And again, with newly originated transactions through the CARES Act funding, the U.S. Small Business Administration can waive or pay, pardon me, all of the fees, principal, and interest for 6 months on any newly originated loan through September 27th. So I think that that's really something that that I'm trying to focus on, trying to have my staff focus on, because we really need a bright, shiny light in the midst of all of this craziness. And lastly, I would just like to say thank you so much, Assemblymember Kiley and Commissioner Lara, for the opportunity to speak to your constituents. It's truly my honor, and we stand at the ready to assist in any capacity needed. So thank you.
All right. And Bianca.
I don't have many closing remarks. My email address, I work day and night. Feel free to email me. If this, perhaps you still aren't sure where to start, my email is my first name, B as in Bianca, B Bloomquist, ELOMQUIST at smallbusinessmajority.org. I'm sure that will be sent to you after the teletown hall, but there are many opportunities as a small business owner for you to elevate your voice, whether it be in the media or your local policymakers. Get familiar with what your county and city are doing for you as a small business owner. There are quite a few different initiatives happening. There are different grant programs available, different moratoriums happening in different places on, you know, rental relief or, you know, you name it. So so just keep your eyes peeled. Don't hesitate to reach out to us if you have any questions. And again, thank you to the Assembly member and to the Commissioner for inviting Small Business Majority to participate. And thanks, Heather, again, for all of your leadership and your great work.
Well, thank you, everyone, for participating. And I want to thank in particular Commissioner Lara and the Department of Insurance. You know, he just took office at the beginning of last year and has already had to deal with, you know, a fire insurance crisis like we've never seen. And then, of course, what we're going through now. And he has now twice held a forum with me to allow folks in our area direct access to him and his office, and I'm very, very grateful for that. And I want to just tell everyone who's joined the call today as well that if there are any issues that you need help with following up on this, please reach out to my office. My district office number is 916-774-4430. That's 774-4430. That's what we're here for. That's the most important part of my job, is to be an advocate for you. So please get in touch if there's any way we can be of assistance.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This conference will be available for replay starting today at 3 p.m. Pacific through June 19th at midnight. The dial-in number is 1-866-207-1041 with an access code of 925-0043. Once again, those numbers are 1-866-207-1041 with an access code of 925-0043. That does conclude your conference for today. Thank you for your participation and for using AT&T Event Conferencing Service. You may now disconnect.